Take your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter 9, as we continue our study in the book of Matthew. I'll just set the stage again. You that have been here the last few weeks know what I'm going to say, but Jesus preached a sermon on a mountain. We know it was a sermon on the mountain. He preached it to his disciples, his followers, and in that sermon he defined for them how he wanted them and us as followers today, disciples today, how he wanted us all to live. And as we talked about in that sermon, he set the standards high. He has high expectations for his children. And so the question is, how do we live by the Sermon on the Mount? How do we live by those high expectations? Can't do it in with our own abilities, can't do it in our own strength, our own intellect, our own will. The only way we can do it is having the Holy Spirit help us, the Holy Spirit empower us. So the Sermon on the Mount is recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. In chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew, Jesus performs 12 miracles. Now, Matthew doesn't put them in chronological order. We're going to look at Mark chapter 1 and chapter 2 tonight to get a little bit more perspective on the miracle we're going to look at tonight. And we'll see as we compare the two Gospels that the order is different. And that doesn't make any difference. Matthew doesn't profess to put in chronological order the things that Jesus did. He just recorded them. And Mark did as well. But in those two chapters, 8 and 9 of Matthew, Jesus performs 12 miracles, 6 miracles in each chapter. And the purpose or the reason for him performing or working those miracles is to show his disciples that were with him, his followers that were with him, and all of us that God is powerful, omnipotent. God can do anything. And that with that same power that God imparts to us through the Holy Spirit, we can live the way Jesus wants us to live. Can't do it on our own, but with his help, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can live up to the high expectations in the Sermon on the Mount. So, just real briefly, we've looked at 6 of those miracles that were recorded in chapter 8. The healing of the leper, the healing of the centurion's servant, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the healing of all the sick in Capernaum, including casting out demons when they came to Christ. Number 5, the calming of the winds and the seas on the Sea of Galilee. And then number 6, what we looked at last week, the two maniacs of Gadara, who Jesus came and cast the demons out of those two men. So tonight we look at miracle number 7, the healing of the man with palsy. Now again, remember the centurion's servant had palsy, and Jesus spoke the word and he was healed from afar. But this man, as we'll see and as you remember, was brought to Jesus. So last week we saw Jesus in Gadara, on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, on the east side of the Jordan River, and he cast demons out of two men. They lived in the tombs. They were wild men. They were not in their right mind. They were naked. They ran through the tombs. They tried to put chains on them. They broke the chains. Jesus came, told the demons to get out of them. The demons said, well, don't cast us into nothing. Can we go to this herd of swine that's over here? And you remember Jesus gave permission to go into the swine, and the swine committed suicide and jumped into the sea, and they killed themselves. The whole town, if you remember, the whole town came out, and they asked Jesus to leave. They said, would you please depart from our coast? We want you to leave. And I mentioned last week, they wanted their pigs more than they wanted Christ. And too many people today want the things of the world more than they want Jesus. So we start tonight in chapter 9, verse 1, where it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Now what he passed over was the Sea of Galilee. Remember, Gadara was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And his own city was Capernaum. It was his own city because that was his headquarters in Galilee. Capernaum is on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. And so he passed over the north part of the Sea of Galilee, came to his home city, Capernaum, the home, again, his headquarters in Galilee, the home of Andrew and Peter, the home of James and John. Verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So, a man sick of the palsy. Now, we don't know if he suffered as much as the centurion servant. Earlier, when we read about the centurion servant, the Bible says he was sick of the palsy and he was tormented grievously. And so we don't know how much pain this man was in. But this account, this event in the life of Christ was also recorded in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 1 records Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. And then that same evening, according to the Gospel of Mark, all those that were sick in Capernaum, including those that were possessed by demons, were brought to Jesus. And so they were brought to Jesus, and he healed all. He healed every sickness. He cast out every demon. When we study this in Matthew, it would be like Jesus going to one of the hospitals, going from room to room and emptying out the hospital. He healed every sick person that was brought to him in the city of Capernaum. He cast out demons from every demon-possessed person that was in Capernaum. The next morning, according to the Gospel of Mark, he left Capernaum, and he said, he went out early to pray, and the disciples came out and found him, and he said, well, I have to go to other cities. I need to preach in other cities, and so he went to other cities. Then in Mark chapter 1 is the record of the healing of the leper, where the leper came to Jesus, just like we studied in the Gospel of Matthew, and said, Master, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will. Touched him and healed him. A man that had an incurable disease, nothing could be done for leprosy in that day, healed by Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. I want you to go to the priest, which indicates to me that this leper was a Jew. I want you to go to the priest. I want you to show yourself to the priest. That was the law. I want you to offer the sacrifices to the priest so that he can declare you clean. And there were some things that a leper had to do after showing himself to the priest. He had to be set apart for 7 days and shave and all that other stuff. But here's what Jesus said. I don't want you to tell anybody. I just please do what you do. Go to the priest, show yourself, offer the sacrifice, then go home. But please don't tell anybody that I have healed you. Well, the leper didn't listen to Jesus. According to the Gospel of Mark, he went out and published it much. The Bible says he blazed it abroad. Now, I can't blame him. I mean, if I had an incurable disease that only got, that separated me from my family, that only got worse and worse until I died, and there was no hope, and then somebody healed that disease, and I could go home to my family, I could be a part of society again, I could live, I think I'd tell somebody too. I don't think I'd keep it quiet. I think I'd do the same thing that this leper, and I think most of you would do the same thing, even though this one had asked him not to tell anybody. I think we would have told just about everybody we met, hey, let me tell you what happened to me. I was dying, but now I'm alive because of a man called Jesus. But all the publicity made it impossible for Jesus to go into any more cities. This is what the Gospel of Mark tells us. And so he stayed in the wilderness. He stayed in the desert. And the Bible says that many came out to him there. Many came to where he was to hear him teach, to hear him preach for the healing. Then we come to Mark chapter 2. The Bible says he comes back to Capernaum, just like it says there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. He came into his own city. Mark chapter 2 says he comes back to Capernaum. Now, word spread quickly that he was in the house. It doesn't tell us whose house it was. My guess is it was Simon Peter's house. because he had been there before. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law. And word spread that he was back in Peter's house. And it caused a crowd to gather, just like it did the last time he was there. Remember, last time he was there, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. The whole city brought the sick and the demon-possessed, and he healed everybody. He cast out every demon. So when word came, hey, Jesus, they didn't have a newspaper, they didn't have telephones, but word spread from person to person, hey, Jesus is back. Jesus is back at Peter's house. Let's go. And a crowd gathered, so much of a crowd that Peter's house was full. There was no more room for anybody to come in. They were gathered outside the door, gathered outside the windows, and the Bible says that Jesus was preaching the word unto them. So a crowd was gathered about this house. Then Mark records four people bringing one sick of the palsy on his bed. So I picture it in my mind, he was like on a pallet, and each one of these people, I don't know if they were all four men or if there were women involved, but four people, each one had a corner, and they brought this one that was sick of the palsy to Jesus. Now, I don't know, and we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us if this man wanted to come or not. Don't know if he wanted to come or not. The Bible doesn't tell us if the bringers, who I assume were his friends, the ones that brought him to Jesus, asked him or not. There's no recorded conversation where his friends came to him and said, hey, we'd like to take you somewhere. Where? Well, we'd like to take you to see the man Jesus. Why? Well, we think he can help you. How can that be? I have palsy. Nobody can cure palsy. So I don't know if there was a conversation like that, or if these four people just came in and said, hey, hang on, we're taking you on a little trip. I don't know if they asked his permission or just picked up his bed and brought him to Jesus. Now, I want to stop for a minute. I want you to think with me and remember with me about the people that Jesus has healed so far that we've talked about in Matthew chapter 8. The leper came to him and asked him, said, Master, if you will, you can heal me. Okay? The centurion servant didn't come to Jesus and ask to be healed. He was sitting at home. I mean, he was like this man that these four brought to Jesus in chapter 9 here. He was sick of the palsy. The Bible says again, he was grievously tormented. So he was in a lot of pain. So he was sitting at home, hurting, painful, palsy. And the next thing he knew, he was healed. I mean, one minute he was sick, the next minute he was well. One minute he was in tremendous pain, the next minute he felt no pain at all. He didn't know how that happened. He did not know who was behind it. Again, in a second, his life was changed. And he probably didn't find out about it until his master came home and said, I met Jesus today, and I asked him to heal you. So this centurion servant did not ask. Peter's mother-in-law, did she ask Jesus to heal her? I don't know. I don't think so. The Bible says that she was sick of a fever, maybe delirious, maybe in no condition to ask Jesus to heal her. And the Bible says that Jesus touched her hand and she was healed. So the leper asked, the centurion servant did not, Peter's mother-in-law probably did not. What about all those that were sick in Capernaum, all those that were demon-possessed? The Bible says this, they were brought unto him. Somebody brought them. And again, I don't know if they asked if they could bring them. I don't know if they told them where they were taking them. But the Bible says that they were brought. They were brought unto Jesus. What about the demon-possessed men in Gadara? They were not in their right mind. They were maniacs. So they probably didn't ask Jesus to heal them. I mean, it was the demons who said, hey, if you're going to cast us out, They knew what Jesus was going to do, but the men probably didn't because, again, they weren't in their right mind. The demon said, hey, if you're going to cast us out, let us go into those pigs. Here's my point. The vast majority, in fact, probably everybody except for the leper, didn't ask Jesus to heal him. This man that was sick of the palsy was brought by four on his pallet, on his bed. And again, we don't know if he asked his friends or if his friends just said, hey, hang on, we're going to go. But in Mark chapter 2, the Bible says they came to the house. The house was full of people. They were there to hear Jesus preach. They couldn't get into the house, so they went up on the roof. And you know the story. They tore a hole in the roof, and they let this man down at the feet of Jesus. Now, I've often thought, boy, if this was Peter's house, knowing Peter's temperament, he probably, when the roof started, you know, when pieces of the roof started falling into his living room, he probably looked up and said, hey, what are you guys doing to my roof? Knock it off. You're going to have to fix that. Just knowing Peter, he probably said something like that. But so they let him down at Jesus' feet. So here's the point I want to make because by mentioning all that. And if you don't get anything else out of the Bible study tonight, get this one point. Every person has the sickness of sin. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of them know they are sick. Others do not know they're sick. The vast majority of those that have the sickness of sin will not approach Jesus and ask him to heal them. They must be brought. They must be brought. A few might want to come, but most people probably won't want to come. But they need to be brought to Jesus. He is the only hope that they have. He is the only one who can heal the sickness of sin. And our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ is to bring those that are sick with sin to Jesus. We need to get them to Jesus. We can't help them. We can't heal them. We can't get rid of their sin or pay for their sin, but Jesus can. And so we need to get them to Jesus. Now, notice again, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. And Jesus, seeing their faith, it says the same thing in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And seeing their faith, not the faith of the one sick with the palsy, but the faith of the four that brought him. Seeing their faith, Jesus looked at this man, sick of the palsy, laying on this bed, and said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Your sins are forgiven. Be happy, be cheerful. I forgive your sins. Look at verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Now, the scribes were experts in the law. They were teachers of the law. They said within themselves, they thought to themselves, this man is committing blasphemy. He's committing blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. And this man, by saying your sins are forgiven, is making himself out to be God. That's blasphemy. That's what, and the scribes knew that. That was what was taught in the law. Anybody that made himself out to be God, he was committing blasphemy. That was a sin punishable by death. And so they didn't say it out loud, but they thought it in their minds. This man's a sinner. When he's saying, hey, your sins are forgiven, only God can do that. This man's not God. He's committing blasphemy. Now look at verse 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, Jesus knows what people think. He knows what we think. We can't hide our thoughts from God. He knows our thoughts. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why do you accuse me? What he was saying is, why do you accuse me of this sin? Why do you accuse me of blasphemy? I know what you're thinking. I know your thoughts. Why are you ascribing this evil to me? Verse 5, for whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Jesus says, what's easier? Is it easier to say to somebody, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to rise and walk? Now, he didn't give the scribes a chance to answer, but the scribes would say, well, neither one of them are easy. No man can do either. No man can forgive sins, and no man can heal palsy. But what Jesus was saying, God has the power to do both. God has the power to forgive sins, and God has the power to heal palsy. It's not. I'm not committing a sin. I'm not committing blasphemy. I am being who I am. I am being who I am. Look at verse 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. Now, the title, the Son of Man, is the title that Jesus gave to himself. In fact, he referred to himself more as the Son of Man than he did the Son of God. This title, the Son of Man, has reference back to the book of Daniel. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn back to Daniel chapter 7, and I'm going to read two verses. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Here's what the Bible says. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel was talking about the Messiah. He was talking about the Christ. The vision that he saw, the Son of Man, was the Messiah. And so Jesus was telling the scribes, who, by the way, knew the book of Daniel, because they were experts in the scripture, they understood the reference that Jesus was making. And so Jesus said, so that you know that I am the Son of Man, the Christ, the Messiah, I have power to forgive sins. I have power to heal the palsy. So he turned to the man laying on his bed and he said, arise, take up thy bed and go unto thy house. Now, this man may not have known where he was, when his friends came to get him, this man may not have known where he was going. He may not have known why his friends were taking him somewhere. He may have been embarrassed that his friends tore a hole in somebody else's roof to let him down through the roof. As he lay there at the feet of Jesus and heard his conversation with the scribes, he may not have understood one thing that they were talking about. But when Jesus said to this man, arise, take up your bed, and go home, he didn't hesitate one minute. Look at verse 7. And he arose and departed to his house. The sick of sin, those that are sick in sin, may not know where we are taking them. They may not understand anything about God. But if we can get them to Jesus, he can forgive their sin and give them eternal life, and not only give them eternal life, but give them the abundant life that we have in him. Verse 8, and when the multitude saw it, when they saw the Son of Man not only forgive this man's sin, but to heal him of his palsy, they marveled. They were amazed. They said, how can this be? And glorify God, which had given such power unto men. That's what God desires. He desires man's glory. Everything that Jesus did pointed to his Father. Everything that Jesus did glorified his Father. He said, I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. And as he did the will of his Father, he glorified his Father. Everything we do, and especially if we bring those that are sick in sin to Jesus, will bring glory to God. It will. And so, as his disciples, as his followers today, we need to claim the power that he has given us through the Holy Spirit. We need to live by the Sermon on the Mount, and we need to be busy bringing other people to Jesus. Thank you for being here tonight.